spiritual elevation. So the last two pieces of the Akedah that we really have to discuss are, number one, the valence to the shofar. Okay, we've worked around that. We did Olas Re'ia at some length. We did the Malchalas and the Sakin last week. This week, what I want to try to talk about is obviously to tie it into Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, and then next week to talk about the long-term impact on the structure of Kadshim in terms of the aisle. So we've mentioned many times that the Rambam seems to have the strongest view of all the Rishonim concerning the impact of the aisle on the mitzvah of shofar, l'dor ador. So in other words, everybody agrees that the l'chatchila is to have a shofar shel aisle, because of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Mipnei Ma Token b'shofar shel aisle, and the Gemara says it refers back to Akedas Yitzchak, and that itself is like a major zchus on Rosh Hashanah. So we devoted a number of shiurim over the past few Shabbos is to establishing the spectrum. So I know Jacob is there, just to review quickly what the primary views are. So you have the view of the Rambam, which that you have to use the shofar of an aisle. You have the view of the Shulchan Aruch, who says that may ikar hadin, you have to use the shofar of the aisle, but b'diavad, you know, it's acceptable to use other forms of shofar, and on the level of b'diavad, it's better to use something which is curved than something which is straight, but the mitzvah is shofar shel ayil kafuf. And then the tour has an even less ambitious formulation. He says it's just a mitzvah min hamufchar. It's an ideal, kind of like what we said, like a hiddur mitzvah, to use the shofar of an ayil. But really, meikar adin, you could be yotze with anything that was bent. And those really represent the spectrum of use. But either way, nobody's denying that the ayil, Akedas Yitzchak, is meant to inform the mitzvah of shofar at the highest level. So I wanted to take that background a little bit and to try to develop it a little further. It's well known that after we blow the shofar, so the Baal Tokeya says this very enigmatic pasuk, which was actually my high school yearbook quote. It was inspired. So the pasuk is from Tehillim. Mizmor Peites. So the pasuk says, "Ashrei ha'am yodei sirua." Happy, praiseworthy is a nation that knows the trua. Hashem be'or panecha yaleichun. Hashem, in the light of your face, they will march. They will walk forward. It's a very challenging, somewhat enigmatic pasuk. Number one, well, what exactly do we mean when we say "Ashrei ha'am"? Yod-ei Sru'a. Like, happy is a nation that knows how to make a Tru'a, that is, like, is the technical knowledge somehow, a state secret? You know, I imagine not, right? I imagine that there are many other people who are capable of producing a Tru'a. Moreover, what is the connection between Yod-ei Tru'a and Ashrei Ha'am? Okay, it's one thing to say, Ashrei ha'am shekach alo, Ashrei ha'am she'ashem elokav. You might say, like, look, it's a great thing that for our people that we have such a close relationship with Hashem. But Ashrei ha'am yodei trua seems to give like a much greater role to the trua than we might intuitively have given it. You know, don't say Ashrei ha'am yodei lulav, Ashrei ha'am, you know, yodei tefillin, Ashrei ha'am yodei mezuzah, Ashrei ha'am yodei tzitzis, right? So, like, there's a special emphasis here, too. Okay, that's my second question. Third question is, what exactly do we mean when we say Hashem be'or panecha yahaleichun? What is the connection? God, in the light of your face, they will march. So this is a difficult pasuk, and yet it becomes almost the liturgical center of the Tkiyah Shofar. We do have a minhag of saying before, L'matzeach l'tnei Korach mizmor, but this is the first thing we say after we blow the shofar. It's this triumphant, celebratory pasuk. The question is, what does it even mean? Okay, so let's take a look at Vayikra Rabbah. Simon, you want to just read for us? This is a Vayikra Rabbah. I don't know if it makes the problem better or worse at first, but we'll read it, and then God willing, we'll come back to it at the end.
Ashrei ha'am yodei trua.
Okay, so there you go, Chazal saying, like, well, what do you mean, right? Is this a state secret? Okay, so that's a very strange formulation. So what does it mean, hein makirin, rather the Jewish people have some special knowledge, lefatos es boran bitrua? What is that even, what is, we know boran is their creator. Right, very good. Isn't it odd? What do we mean? It's like somehow, we'll pull the wool over God's eyes, right? We'll you know, he just can't resist that trua.
Yeah.
So that's, and then again, like we raise a fourth question, is it seems really meduyak, that it's again the trua, not the tkia. The trua is clearly what the Medrash is picking up on in light of the Pasuk. Right, again, it's Trua Leharia Yode Trua. So Trua as opposed to Tekiah, what exactly is the idea? Okay, so then what happens? So this is an incredibly evocative image, is that God is seduced, and because of this seduction, you know, he can do none other than to lift himself in the Kisei Din, and move himself to the Kisei Rachamim, which is the critical movement of the day, and that's really what we're hoping to achieve, okay, so when we say, according to the Medrash, when we say Ashrei Am Yodei Trua, what are we doing? It's what we would call in the field declaring victory. We're declaring victory. We're saying, we've seduced God. We've moved him from the Kisei Hadin to the Kisei Rachamim. He's Mismali Le'er Rachamim. V'hofech La'midas Hadin La'midas Rachamim, which is the whole point of the day. So,
do you know of any other sources where we use this verb?
This seduction is highly unique. Yeah. It's almost singular.
Yeah.
Very, very remarkable. Okay, so again, just to sum up, we want to know, what does Yode Trua mean? So the Medrash, again, highlights the question by saying, like, well, what do you mean? Is this, like, a secret knowledge of the Jewish people? Ashrei Ha'am, why the Trua? So the Medrash began to answer that a little bit, is that it has this incredible impact on Hashem that you wouldn't attribute to a lulav, or a mezuzah, or a tefillin, or a tzitzis, or any other mitzvah, say maybe, but somehow this mitzvah is particularly effective. We have no insight yet into Hashem be'or panecha yehaleichun. We have no exact insight yet into why trua as opposed to tkia. And now let's just lay out an irony. What's the great irony of this line of yodei trua that we sure know how to make a trua?
It's not us knowing it; it's Hashem's reaction to it.
Okay, so that's true. Do we really know how to make? I would say it's more accurate to say Yodei Tzkia. We know what a Tzkia is. Nobody disagrees about what a Tzkia is. But is there unanimity as far as a Trua is concerned? On the contrary. So Jacob, why don't you read the Rambam for us? The Rambam describes how is it that we got so many different sounds.
I thought Trua is really kind of a generic term. I mean, you call it Yom Trua. You don't say it Yom Tzkia.
It's very specific. What we have to understand is, and you're right, we have to understand why that became the essential and defining feature of the day. So if you take a look at the Rambam, at the beginning of the third parak of Hilchos Shofar, you'll see how, ironic it is that we'd ever use the expression Yodei Trua.
How many blasts?
Good. Very well said.
Tesha tekiyos, 9. If you should ever teruah biyogo the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Abamim, the whole teruah pshuta lefanel pshuta lachwel. So it says 9 because it says teruah biyogo and teruah biyogo or Rosh Hashanah, and we know that that's 3 times.
Right.
No, it says it 3 times.
Correct.
And each teruah is a clear blast before and after.
Okay,
Ben Bion Kippur Michel Yovel Tashit Kiyas Sakma Kol Efa Kol Efa Mishneh Tkiya Trua Kutkiya Tkiya Trua Tkiya Tkiya Trua Tkiya.
So again, the Rambam is just making it very clear that on the Torah level, that's all you have to do. Tkiya Trua Tkiya Tkiya Trua Tkiya Tkiya Trua Tkiya. Now obviously, and we're going to discuss this further, just to skip ahead for one second, the basic identity of the day is clearly, right, that it's a Yom Trua. It's a day that's defined by the Trua, and the Tkia is really just the escort. We don't say it's, you know, balance between Tkia and Trua, it's a day of Trua. And so if the President of the United States was walking down the road, what would you expect? That, right, before him and after him, right, there'd be bodyguards. Right? The Trua is escorted by the Tzkiya. It's Pshuta Leferav, Pshuta Leacharav, but they're not, like, competing for influence on this day. On the contrary, right, it's a day of Trua. Okay? Let's go a little further. Okay, so now we're all, you know, triumphant. You know, we're Ashrei Ha'am Yod'ei Tirua. What's the irony? Okay, Jacob, go ahead. This is based on the Gemara, the Rambam says. Trua Zo Hamura B'Torah. Yeah, if you don't mind. Unless there's a union law against it.
What this means, I mean, so it means like the three, you know, the Trua, Tkiya, that's the definition. So if you just do one, you're not really, like, you just do a blast on Rosh Hashanah, you're not.
Right, minimally you have to hear these nine sounds, you have to do the three Truos, and definitionally, the Trua has to be accompanied before and after by the Tzkiya.
And that's Mipi HaShmua, the pun intended. But that's Mipi, that's the Rabbanan.
Gemara, well, that's the Rabbi. Mipi HaShmua means on the Doraisa level. That's the rabbis rabbi used what they call in the field exegesis.
Okay. Halacha Beis, Trua Zu Ha'amur B'Torah, Mistapik Lonu Vasapik, Lufi Arach Hashanim, Verorik Lulik.
What is he saying? So the irony is...
This Trua that we're not sure what it really is.
So you see what I was saying before about the irony? Okay. Right, we're getting up there and we're saying with great fanfare, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua. But we have a suffix.
Imhu Hilula Shemalilim Hanashim B'nehi Asam.
Okay, what do we call that? That's what we call today the Trua. Or
the wailing, oh ha'anacha, or like the sigh, or the moan.
Ay, ay, ay. That's the shvarim.
Ha'anacha, ha'am kashiyidag libo midavar gadol. Oshrem ke'echa ha'anacha ve'ilu the wailing, the moaning and the wailing.
What do we call that? Our term for it is the Shvarim Trua. But these are all just three different possibilities as to what a Trua is.
Shekach derech ha'doeg mis'anech t'chilo achakach milel. After that he wails.
So why, according to the Rambam, why do we do all of them?
Because we're not sure.
We're not sure. So we're not exactly Yodei Trua. We wish we were. But it's so important to get the Trua right that we'll do all of them. So we'll do everything in triplicate. Right? Why are we doing everything in triplicate? Just for the sake of...
being sure.
Right. Precisely. So...
So on Yovel, we don't do all these things, right? I mean, everything is supposed to be derived from Yovel.
No, on Yovel, we still would. Meaning, if we had Yom Kippur the Yovel year, we would do exactly the same.
No, but for the Yovel that they announced the Yovel, that's where we derive Trua. Isn't that where we...
Right, so we derive, it says, Vavarta Shofar Trua B'Chodesh HaShvi'i, and the Gemara says, based on that, Sheyihu Kol Trua Shol Chodesh HaShvi'i B'Shaveh. So,
I mean, there shouldn't be a presumption that for Yovel you have to have these sighing and these wailing.
It has to be exactly the same as whatever we do in Rosh Hashanah. Shaveh ha-Yovel Rosh Hashanah, let's kios to the brachos, the Mishnah says. So again, you know, the day that we call Rosh Hashanah has many identities, Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, but the truth of the matter is that the Torah describes it in very direct fashion. And the Torah's emphasis is not on Yom HaDin, explicitly, nor on Rosh Hashanah, explicitly. The Torah's emphasis is on really one theme, which, in my view, triggers everything else, is the critical theme. So I'm just going to read here from the from first Sefer Bamidbar and then Sefer Vayikra. And you'll tell me what the clear emphasis of the Torah is. Vachodesh Hashvi'i Becha Vachodesh, not Rosh Hashanah, but rather the seventh month, the first of the month. Mikra Chodesh Yalachem Kol Melechas Avodah Lo Sasu, Yom Teruah Yalachem. That's data point one. Data point two. Parshas Emor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Emor, Bachodesh Hashvi'i Becha Bachodesh. Yelachem Shabbason, Zichron Teruah Mikra Kodesh. So the common denominator, and what the Torah is emphasizing more than anything else about the day that we call Rosh Hashanah is Teruah. The key to the day is understanding the Teruah, not the Tzkiah. And that this Teruah has an affiliation with a second theme, which also became one of the names of Rosh Hashanah, of Zikaron. Zichronos, Zichron, Teruah. The Teruah causes a kind of a Zichron. So what we're going to have to try to understand right now is, what is the unique property of the Teruah? How does that explain what we meant when we said, Ashrei Am Yodei Teruah? How does that explain what the Vayikra Rabba meant when it said the Fatos Esboram, a kind of a seduction, a love gesture, if you will? How does that relate to the Akedah? And all of these things actually reveal themselves, I think, almost immediately once you understand the simple distinction between Teruah and Tekiah. And you just have to look elsewhere in the Torah, but once you look at it, the Torah makes it quite clear. So I actually charted it out, but let's take a look at the Psukim. And I think we'll be very, it'll just, you know, unfold very readily. Okay, so this is from the 10th chapter of the book of Bamidbar. The Torah is discussing here the process of making chatzotzros, trumpets. Okay, so just take a look. I broke it up into four sections. Vayidabir Adonai el Moshe l'amor. Asei lecha Shtei chatzotzros kesef. So Moshe, you have to make for yourself two silver trumpets.
Right.
The cha mishalcha.
Right.
Miksha tase osam. So you can't use different pieces of metal forged together. Rather, you have to take one solid block and hammer it out into each trumpet. By the way, what are the other two things in the Torah that have to be made miksha? Very good. And the Kruvim. Because the idea is that the Kruvim represent God and the Jewish people. They come from one block. They're organically linked. It's a nice thing. Okay. V'hayulacha, and primarily these chatzotzros will have two functions. L'mikra ha'eda, what does that mean, mikra ha'eda? Eda means the people or the congregation. Mikra is to call the congregation as a means of calling the congregation, a gathering of the people. Ulimasa is hamachanos. And then a second function, to cause travel. Visak ubahein. So let's now get into the details. So that if you make a tkiah, visak ubahein, tkiah with both of them, that means the entire people have to gather together to the front of the Olmoed, which is the meeting place. Vim be'achas yiska'u, again, tkiah, but only one this time. So it's a smaller meeting. V'nu'adu elecha nesim roshay alpei Yisrael. So l'fi pshuto shel mikra, what is the function of the tkiah? So, right, exactly. The tkiah is a kind of, it's what we would use a text message or email or a Facebook posting today, right? It's a method of communication. You hear the tkiah, and so you report for a meeting. The tkiah is not the message. The tkiah is letting you know that there will be a message. One more time. Ditzkiah is not the message. Ditzkiah lets you know that there will be a message. What do you see? He's very critical about that. Okay. Now, on the contrary, right, Usikatem Truah, but should you make a Truah, and by the way, this is how we know that every Truah has to be preceded by its Kiyah, we'll discuss. V'nasu ha-machanos ha-chonim kedma. Usikatem Truah shenis, v'nasu ha-machanos ha-chonim teimana, Truah yisku'u l'masehem. Kiyah, Truah, Kiyah. Just bolded it so you could see. That's how Chazal knew that the Truah is always... But what does a Truah really mean? And as unlike the Tzkiah, what does a Truah symbolize? Truah, exactly, the Truah is itself encoded with deep meaning, and it says you have to forward march. Okay, let's just remember that for a second. Likewise, the Torah concludes this section by noting the following. V'chisavo milchama biartzechem. There's a war. There's an invasion. Milchama biartzechem. This is invasion. Al hatzar hatzorereschem. Right, the enemy who oppresses you. V'hare osem v'chatzotzros. And you'll make a trua. And the immediate result will be v'niskartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You will be remembered, not you will remember, but you will be remembered, v'nizkartem, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, v'noshatem me'oyveichem, and thus be saved from your enemies. So here the Truah means what? The Truah has a very specific function. It means to be saved, to cause Hashem to remember us and save us from death. To cause Hashem to remember us, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem v'noshatem me'oyveichem. To cry, right, in crisis, desperation, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem v'noshatem me'oyveichem, so that God will hear, and Yeshua, Hoshia, v'noshatem me'oyveichem. That's the second meaning of the Truah. So the first meaning of the Truah is forward march. Second meaning of the Truah is war, a kind of a prayer to be remembered by God. By the way, this idea of v'nizkartem obviously reminds us of zichron Truah, that the Truah has this affiliation. Now, uv'yom simchaschem uv'mo'adechem uv'roshei chadshechem, but on the opposite end of the emotional spectrum, a day of simcha, a holiday, Rosh Chodesh, Uskatem, there's a triumphant sounding of its kia. V'chatzotros al olotzeichem v'al zibchei shalmeichem. V'hayu lachem lezikaron. Not again that Hashem is remembering, but lachem lezikaron. You are reminded. Lifnei elokeichem. Ani Hashem elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God. Okay, just one more data point, and then we'll be able to tie it all together. Jacob had referenced before the Yovel, so the Torah is very clear that the Yovel is marked not by Tzkiah. Oh no, there's no more. I'm just mentioning this, and then we're going to circle back. So the it says about the Yovel, the Avarta Shofar Truah B'Chodesh Hashvi'i Be'Asor LaChodesh. That's how we know how to use the shofar to generate the Truah, not just on Yovel, but on Rosh Hashanah, because it says, Taviru shofar, and it links Vavarta shofar Truah. That the Truah has to be produced by shofar. But be that as it may, means that in the Yovel, it's not a Tzkiah, it's a Truah. And what immediately happens? Vishavtem ish alachuzaso v'ishal mishpachto tashuku. So, right, your staff has to go free, all the abadim go free, and the lands that have could have been in your family for a generation, two generations, 50 years, now go free. You have to release it all. Why? Because that's what Hashem said. The masas hamachanos set the people in motion. War, Yovel. So, if you ask me, wait, But yeah, that's the because that's the tzkiya. The tzkiya is a. What's the essential difference? So it seems to me that the linchpin is an understanding of what happens when the Jewish people are in the desert. So we said when they hear the Truah, they have to go into motion. Now, how do the Jewish people know where to go? Now, which way should they go? How do they know?
They follow the clouds.
Fire at night, cloud during the day. In other words, they were committed to following. The Truah means, who are you putting your trust in? Who are you about to follow? Hashem. Let me just... Right? Anybody ever been hiking in the desert here? So, right, you want to be very careful. Right? You try extremely hard not to go anywhere you don't know where you're going, because...
It's really hard to find the trail again.
And then you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Because you only have a certain amount of water and you're in big trouble. So, for example, if you ever go... And a hiking program in Israel, right, they will iterate and reiterate and reiterate that nobody is to go off on their own, ever, under any circumstances, because at the level of danger, right, this is something that if you just read the Torah Kipshuto, you'll pick up on one very well. What do people keep on being terrified about? That there's no water, right? And in fact, even Hashem says that the trust and faith the Jewish people placed in Hashem by following him in the desert was one of the great acts of love. We'll mention it actually in Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. Zacharti lachasen urayich avas kululosayich lechtech acharai bamidbar. Okay? Eretz lo zerah, exactly. So, the Truah in and of itself connotes we're taking what you would call a leap of faith, or a gesture of faith. We're going to follow Hashem, right, no matter what. Even though, you know, maybe our reason tells us, turn around and go back to Mitzrayim. There's a reason that keeps on coming up in the Torah, right, because that's the alternative. And likewise, right, by the way, if I had to discuss that, if I had to describe that in a pasuk, what would I say? Hashem be'or panacha yahaleichun. We'll walk, right, in your life. That will be our trail. So, it maybe is not a surprise then that the two other uses of Truah and the Torah are also, right, great acts of faith. They symbolize the need for, right, commitment and faith, right? V'chisavo milchama b'artzechem alatzara t'rereschem. So you have a crisis on your hands. You have a life and death situation. So Bahariosem Bachatzotros Viniskaratam Lipayashem Okechan. So Hashem will remember you, you'll sound the Truah, right? And that itself evokes this image of Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar, right? This love and faith-based relationship. And hopefully the result is Vinoshatim Bebecham. And on the individual level, right, every Yovel, right, so you're about to wipe out your portfolio. It says wipe it out, right? All of the assets that you've acquired, right, land assets and human assets, and you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to start over, right, v'hariyosem, v'avarta shofar tru'ah v'chodesh hashvi'i, and, right, there's a, right, and again, the Torah stresses over and over again that Yovel is this terribly frightening thing, right? You keep on saying, v'chi tomar, you'll say to yourself, how am I going to survive this, right, that there's going to be, yeah, it seems like it's incredibly daunting. So now let's go back. I'm trying to tie it all together. Ashrei ha'am yod'ei siruah. Happy, praised is the nation that knows the secret of the Truah. What did the Medrash say? It's not the technical knowledge. V'chi ein umos ha'olam yodin lahariyah. That's not what we mean. We don't mean the technical skill of blowing the Truah. We mean knowing what it symbolizes and knowing how to, what I would say, yodei Truah, that knows how to take this kind of leap of faith. And what's the inevitable result of that? when Hashem sees the quote-unquote the love gesture, the zacharti lachesed nu'rayach, because the trua has that hallmark of us following Hashem in the desert, or us putting our faith in Hashem, right, be'ez tzara, be'ez milchama, conforming to the laws of Yovel, even when it seems like, right, you're not, imagine if you said to some, you know, you don't even have to be an arch-capitalist, just to a regular guy in the street, so every 50 years I'm just going to give back all the properties that I acquired and let all my slaves go, and they'll say, yeah, but what do you get for it? What do you mean you're going to let it go? They won't understand. So why do you do that? Right? What do you get back? And they say, okay, you'll give it back to the guy, but what do you get for it? Do you give interest? Does he pay you three times as much with the current market value? No. Why not? It's what Hashem said. These are acts of great faith in different applications, economically, militarily, traveling in the desert. Ashrei am yodei tzrua. The statement is, Hashem b'or panacha yehalechun. Is that we're worth you. So inexorably, Hashem's response to that is, when right, I'm dealing with people who are so committed, how can I have anything but rachamim mismalei rachamim aleihem? It's exactly what the Midrash says. You just need the background of trua. Okay, so that is the basic gist of the trua, and now you know why, right? Pshuta lefaneha, pshuta leacharah. Right, but the tzkiah is right. It's just the frame. The tzkiah fundamentally is an announcement that there's going to be an announcement. So what's the announcement on Rosh Hashanah? The trua. The tzkiah means listen up. The tzkiah means gather to the Ohel Moed. So you're going to hear the trua. That's the idea. Pshuta lefanav, pshuta l'acharav. It frames what the message is. Finally. As we noted, and this is the point of our whole series, is that what is the root of all of this? So, Lashitas HaRambam, of course, the entire shofar is rooted in the Akedah, right? And doesn't take a great leap now to understand why we would associate this capacity with the Akedah, that Uwa is, you know, willing to say, you know, against all odds and against all reason and against everything that I stand for, emotionally, morally, intellectually, even everything that you, God, have told me, and yet I'm going to say, you know, no cha ad ko, we're going to, you know, we're going that way. So that, of course, there's no better way of summing up both Avram's achievement at the Akedah and Yitzchak's achievement at the Akedah. That was the genesis of this incredible Ashrei Ha'am, Yod E Srua. So all we are, when we are Yod E Srua, is we're the children of Avram and Yitzhak. We're literally walking in their footsteps because we're trying to summon within ourselves that same capacity for sacrificial action, for faith, and for, like, you know, very profound Emunah. So, you know, we're not like reading the Akedah in Rosh Hashanah because it's like some, you know, it's one of the nicer sections of the Torah, but it's actually, right, on the contrary, it's actually supposed to be the defining feature of the day. Now you understand very well why when the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah, it calls it a Yom Trua, or a Zichron Trua, because all the many themes of the day, the Malchios and the Zichronos, and the shofros are all, in my mind, triggered by the proper, not the sounding of the trua, but the internalization of the trua. Meaning, what do we really mean when we say, Hashem be'or panacha yehalechun, we're with you. So it means, you're the king, right? We put our trust in you. We know that you know the way in the desert. We know that you can save us from enemies. You know that you can help us economically to the point where we'll do things that other people would say are completely and utterly irrational and self-defeating, right? Tamlichuni aleichem. And when we make those statements, right, Hashem just definitionally remembers us. V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem elokeichem. Hashem has this memory of, you know, all of our acts of loyalty going back to zacharti lachesed nu'rayach, going back to Avram Avinu, going back to the Akedah. And it is all the formulations in Chazal that Hashem will remember this, and Hashem will remember that, and Hashem will remember the other, because we're signing on the dotted line, we're demonstrating our fidelity, and that's the Zichronos. And Bama, as the Gemara says, Bishofar. The shofar is just a symbol going back to Akedas Yitzchak, funneled through the sound of the Trua, of all of these themes. So again, the Yom HaDin and the Yom HaZikaron and the Rosh Hashanah, they're all, in a certain sense, subsidiaries of the Yom Trua and the Zichron Trua, what the Trua is meant to represent. Okay, so I want to just thank everybody for being flexible so that we could do regular Slichos Arab Rosh Hashanah. And tomorrow, we'll pick it up there tomorrow, and then next week, God willing, we'll have the last two in the series, and then after Sukkot, you know, we'll begin with the regular Lima. This year, we're going to keep it up. We're going to do that Sugya B'Ian. Okay, so let's hold it up there.